Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Joe Beningo and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. On WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no. Gotta go to Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe.
All right, 302 on The Fan, hour two of our radio program. Joe and Evan in the afternoon, 877-337-6666 is the phone number here to 6 o'clock. Mike Francesa will come your way. Pete Hoffman in Manhattan, Ernie Acosta in Yonkers. We're live from the Town Fair Tire studio where nobody, and nobody on top of that beats Town Fair Tire, nobody.
I did go back and watch that last play, the Francisco Cabrera-Sid Breen play.
Mm-hmm.
The throw is about 2 feet to the right. So it wasn't a perfect throw,
right?
But I also can't look at it and say, you know, it was this awful throw that cost them.
Right.
They needed a perfect throw. Bonds didn't make a perfect throw. He just didn't. He also didn't hit in that series either, if memory serves correct. He had a lot of series early in his postseason career where Barry Bonds did not hit very much.
Well, Pittsburgh, I mean, you know, I mean, all those years that they won the division, they never got to the World Series.
Yeah. Yeah. And a big part of it was they would just stop hitting in those series.
Yep. Yep.
Joining us right now, talk a little bit about the future, short-term and long-term of college sports. It's Pete Thamel, does a great job for Yahoo. Pete, how you been?
Pete, how are you?
I've been good. You know, it's slow times when you're retroactively ripping Barry Bonds for like four series in the 80s, right?
I know.
Well, it's actually the 90s, but
the 90s. Sorry,
yeah.
that is fun.
92 to be exact.
Right.
The one actually fun thing about this time has been debating things and talking about things you know, we haven't talked about in 10, 15, 20 years, 30 years in some cases. So it actually has been. It's been oddly fun, but we both miss real sports, you know, live sports, that's for sure.
We're ready to move on. Yeah, it's been a nice moment. We all enjoyed The Last Dance, but like, yeah, let's get Jonas Salk of this century to fix this virus, and let's roll.
Amen. Where are you right now on May 21st that the college football season is going to start on time with just about every school participating?
I would bet against that with my entire 401k.
Okay.
I mean, it's just going to be a mess, guys. Like, there's no other way to say it. I mean, you're talking about it, college football is going to be the single hardest sport to bring back of all the major sports, and I don't even think it's close because you have the university component, you've got 130 teams, you've got the geographic disparities, you've got the rules of states, you've got the rules of local government, you've got the rules of conferences, you've got the rules of, you know, universities, which have boards, which have presidents, which have everything else. So I think when you look at the totality of what needs to happen to, like, land the plane for college football to perfectly start on, you know, September, whatever, I'm not saying it won't or can't, but I certainly wouldn't bet on all 130 rolling out there on, I guess, week zero is what, August 26th?
Right.
And I just can't see that happening because there's too much in the way. I've applauded these early steps, and we'll talk about some of them, but, like, we are a long way from foot meeting ball.
You know, one thing I will say about college football that maybe would be the sport that would miss the fans not being in the stands more than anything else. When I think about college football, I much more than the NFL, I think that no fans being in the stands for college football would be the biggest deal of any sports.
I agree. I mean, Fireman Ed or whatever his name is, you know, we can live without him, right? But no, I think one of the great parts of this job, and this is going to be my think 18th season cover in national colleges is there is nothing like a big game on a Saturday. You wake up in that college town, you can feel it, and it feels different in Baton Rouge than it does in Eugene, than it does in South Bend, than it does in Miami. And the magic is every place has its own real unique vibe. And certainly NFL stadiums are cool and have good vibes, but it's just, it's not as nuanced and authentic to the city. And a lot of times it's small towns, quite frankly, you know, Starkville, Mississippi and Iowa City and different places like that. And so no, the fans are the magic in college football in a lot of ways. And I really think that will, you know, that if there is a limited fan or no fan, it'd be a huge drawback. But obviously, we understand why.
Sure. What does it do economically? You know, and I know each school and each conference may be different on that, but for an SEC school, not having fans in the stands costs how much compared to the money that's brought in via TV deals and whatnot?
So if there was no fans at like an Ohio State, Florida, like your high-end top 10%, I think a safe number to go with in those higher tiers is about $50 million per school. Mm. So it's significant.
Is that per game?
No, for the season.
So
season ticket profit at those higher-end schools, $50, $60 million in the higher end. So if you're talking about, like Gene Smith mentioned, maybe having 20 to 22,000 at Ohio State for a game, that's still like, you know, we were talking about this on our Yahoo Sports podcast today. Like, is it worth it? Well, heck yeah, it's worth it. It's $12 million, you know, like money is going to be very hard to come by in all these major sports. You're already starting to feel the crunch of it in college athletics. I would think we're almost at a dozen different programs that have cut sports. Now, obviously, they're the cross countries and the golfs and the baseballs, not the non-revenue sports, but the longer this pandemic goes on, there's going to be two sort of dueling crises. Campuses themselves, like if students can't go back to college campuses, there's going to be a higher education financial fallout like nothing we've ever seen. Because universities make a lot of money on tuition, but they make a ton of money on books and dining services. So if you take that out of their budget, which people got a glimpse of in the second semester this year when everybody kind of went home in March, that's a giant, I mean, dorms are apartment buildings. You know, we don't think about them that way. It's easier to think of apartment buildings, you know. And they charge it. They cram a lot of people in and charge them a lot of money. So you're talking like hundreds of millions of dollars, you know, when you start going around the country of, you know, and then the kids start taking gap years. It does enrollment dip. And there's going to be a huge financial fallout on the university side. And then if there's just no college football this year, it is, you know, college athletics are going to, you know, plummet into a crisis. They need college football to make things work on all these campuses.
Now, there's been a number, Pete, of schools already that said they are going to, you know, open up a camp or whatever you want to. I know Notre Dame is one that has said that. I think there's a couple other schools that have already come out and said that they're, you know, it's going to be full steam ahead to go play the season, right? I mean, we have seen that already, right?
Sure, we can say that now, but think about how much, you know, what are we in, like, week 10, 11 of this thing, right? Like, think of how much we've learned, how much has changed, how much, you know, how much of a roller coaster we've been on since mid-March. I guess it's been 2 months now.
Right.
You know, so we're looking 2 months ahead, essentially, before you're starting your training camps. And I just think so, you can say that, and you should say that, and you say that to cause optimism for your campus, cause optimism for your athletic department to keep the season ticket holders on the hook. You can say all that and plan all that, but actually going to do it, I mean, you guys are in New York. You've seen the devastation of this thing firsthand. Like, actually going to do it is a whole other thing.
We're talking to Pete Thamel of Yahoo, the future of college sports, short-term, long-term. Would a school be able to try to play a college football season even if they're telling their students we're having classes, but they're going to be via Zoom? Like, if they don't open up the campuses, can they also then say, but we're going to have a college football season?
That was like a hard no like 6 weeks ago, and now it's sort of trending towards yes. And again, it's going to be obviously via, you know, per institution, that basis. And I think what we're going to see at a lot of schools is some type of hybrid campus model. So you can kind of get away with it with a hybrid campus model. But here's the thing, like, as for the safety of the players, and again, there's a whole other student athletes, are they really students, are these guys professionals debate that we can go on another time. But for the actual safety of the football players, if they are the only ones on campus and the rest of the campus is empty, that's actually like an ideal environment.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's safer.
Yeah, and now again, it's bad optics,
right.
But it is safer. You know, you can at that point you can control a lot better who's in and who's out. You know, there's less parties to go to. There's other, you know, certainly there's ways for the virus to come in, but you know, like the whole thing with the NBA in Vegas or in Disney is you can control who's in and who's out. You kind of have the velvet rope to the club, so you can really contain and keep that there. If you have even limited students back on campus, say a quarter of your students go back, and you know, I think about campuses like, you know, BC, Rutgers, Syracuse up in the Northeast, like, you know, those aren't campuses where kids just stay on campus for the most part. Like you're part of the city, part of the community. You're you know, out and about, and it just increases the risk. The one thing that college administrators, and I've talked to too many of them, and when you ask them, and then nobody has a good answer for, is what happens when someone tests positive? You know, like what happens? Like, why are we to think like Rudy Gobert Part 2 isn't going to play out? And that is the big fear. And there's going to be a lot of testing, and the testing cost is another thing that's going to be. You know, it's $100 a test basically. And so, if you want to test these guys once a week, if you want to test them every day, if you want to like. That's just going to be, it's going to be a lot of money, but highly, highly necessary to try to pull off this high wire act of having college football.
Would that be financially, because we talk about the importance of having a season for the finances of the sports, not just football. Would it be worth no fans in the stands? You got to pay for tests, but the money coming in from the TV deal is so good that it's worth doing that. Is that cost going to be worth it for a lot of universities?
Oh yeah, I mean the TV money is, you know, is sort of what keeps everything alive, right? At some of the places they might make a little more in ticket money, but you're talking like TV money for the Big Ten and for the SEC, it's in the $50 million neighborhood,
right,
for school.
Right.
So, and that keeps your field hockeys and your rowings and your baseballs in business. So, no, if it is quote unquote just the TV money, I think it's very well worth it, because you're staring at a $50 million hole as opposed to a $100 billion hole.
Right. Well, and there's a good possibility that we may see certain, what did you say, it was 130 schools that play college football, Division I? Is that what you're saying, 130?
Yep. 130.
Right. So we may see a situation, because let's be honest, different, but you mentioned Syracuse, BC, Rutgers, you know, more of the hotbed areas than, I understand Louisiana got hit pretty bad. But, mm-hmm. I mean, for the most part, the SEC, where the SEC is, wasn't that big of a hotbed with this. So we're going to see, I would think, certain schools that are going to play football this year and maybe certain schools that are not. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think, like, all options are on the table right now. And, you know, the Pac-12 is the one that I'm most worried about, just because obviously you got the two big L.A. schools, USC,
right,
and UCLA.
Right.
You got
right.
two in the Bay Area, and then
right.
you obviously have
yep.
you have Washington and Seattle.
Right.
So,
yep.
like,
yep.
those are five yep. huge question marks. Now, Arizona is waving them back. Their president, Robbins, is a doctor, and he's going to be the, you know, he wants Arizona to be the model of testing. And Arizona's, like, pretty much well opened up. So, like, just within a league, there's a huge dichotomy. Now, the thing that would get thorny is, can, like, UCLA go, like, hold a camp in Vegas, and I don't think you can do that. You know, I think that crosses like crosses mm-hmm. the line. But UCLA is going to try to come back. They're saying, I saw a headline yesterday.
Right.
And so,
right.
But the interesting part is this: like, the college football playoff is potentially a little more malleable than something like the Super Bowl or the NCAA tournament. It's I guess the least formally attached to the sport, because it's really just a TV contract with the five conferences. Now, I guess everyone else is kind of tied in a way. So the fascinating thing is, if it turns into the Hunger Games and the SEC is in and the Pac-12 is out, how's the playoff going to work?
Yeah.
That's the $500 million question.
Yeah.
So there's just so many more variables in college football, guys, like, than there are in other sports, because the education component, like we've talked about, the geographic diversity. There's just that's why it's the safest prediction is it's just going to be a mess.
Yeah, I mean, because like, when we talk about the NBA, there's no option of, well, this team can't come back, so they're not going to come back.
Yeah.
It's going to be everybody or nobody. So mm-hmm. in college, it may be a little bit different. So you're right. Who knows what the playoff looks like? Is the option of the spring still out there? I know that was talked about. It felt like a month ago. Maybe it was a week ago now. I can't keep track of time. But is that still kind of a possibility of having the college football season during the spring?
Yeah, so I wrote about that, and other people wrote about that a couple weeks ago, and the thought on the spring is this, and I think in theory it makes a lot of sense. The thought is, okay, this is your best chance to have some type of vaccine treatment, you know, refined, you know, knowledge of how to run this thing, learning from the NFL, learning from everything, and then you start in January, and maybe then you can have fans, and you can salvage that piece of it. Now, if you play in January, Trevor Lawrence may say, fun, guys. I'm good. I'm out. You know,
of course.
And so, the thought 2.5 weeks ago, I remember a prominent person in the sport telling me was, do you save the season and lose the stars? And I think the answer is you have to. You know, like we all love Trevor Lawrence, but you know, you need the sport to play. But as the professional leagues have kind of nosed toward potential solutions and starting again, the College Board administrators have gotten a lot more bullish on coming back. But like, let's not be naive. There's going to be fits, and there's going to be stops, and there's going to be teams that are going to shut down. Like you guys have seen how the virus works up close. Like you are not going to contain that thing. If you got 100 kids on every team and you got 130 teams, like it's going to happen. And so I just think that like saying it's going to run in the fall cleanly is naive, but does it look too extreme if you wait until January? And these are the risk management questions that are going on. But you got the Auburn president practically with a bullhorn in the quad saying, we're going to play and we're going to do this and we're going to do that, which you don't know how much of that is just like needed to do to get kids to enroll and,
right.
and kids to commit coming back and how much of that is rooted in like pragmatic science.
Mm. You know, one thing, and again, look, anybody can get this virus, and we know that, Pete, but I mean, the one thing about, you know, the college-age student is probably one of the, you know, least likely to get this. Am I right? I mean, as far as, and I don't know if that means anything, but I mean, I'm just, you know, throwing that out there.
Sure, and I'm certainly not an infectious disease specialist,
although
we've all had to, like, learn to a certain degree a lot about this in a short period of time. But my counter to that point would be, is that how universities are going to run risk management? Because it's all liability, right?
Yeah.
Like, are you going to have to make kids sign,
right.
you know,
right.
in intricate waivers and do
right.
all that? Like,
right.
you know,
right.
we don't think they're going to die is not a great reason to say they should come back and play.
It's just so different than the major sports in every way.
It's totally different.
I mean,
yeah.
it's
it
just
really,
a
it really is a different story
yeah.
altogether.
Yeah, I mean, so it probably looks in September, October, as we're making our best guess, that there's some form of college football, but it isn't going to look anything like what we're used to. Is that a fair guess for what we're looking at in a few months?
That's my guess. I mean, it's just, I think fans are like a pipe dream. Like, right when this thing started, I said, if you think they're starting on August 26th with fans in the stands 130 places, you're nuts, right? Like, you're just nuts. That's not going to happen. Like, there's going to be some form of adjusted normal. How that's adjusted to and what that is, I'm not sure. I thought Peter King had a good line in his Football Morning in America a couple weeks ago, and it was basically like, buckle up for the most unique NFL season that we've ever seen. And and I think the college season is going to even be more fractured in, you know, it's just this big sprawling beautiful mess, college sports, you know, it's what it is. And then the other thing too is nobody's in charge,
right? Like,
there's no one czar, there's no commissioner, there's no one person, so the potential for, you know, different factions to break off and cut deals and maybe they play a regional schedule and all that, I could write a different sort of like conspiracy column every day for how this thing could look like until foot actually meets ball.
One thing too, you said like a regional schedule. Okay, these schedules are set in advance for years. I mean, I think that the college football, every school's got, like, you know, the next 5 years is already set basically, right? When you talk about schedules.
So, oh, yeah, it's even more than 5 years. Like, the big joke is, you know, Army's going to play Ball State in 30 and 31. You know, get your announce those things now.
So it's way in advance.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't see how you change the schedule. So you could, isn't it possible you could have, okay, well, we're playing this team this week, but they're not playing football this year. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, and that's what the scrambling is going to be. The first sort of test case of that, and again, this was like more rumors than reality, was like if USC isn't ready to play Alabama in the opener in Dallas, which is going to be kind of that marquee opening
game. That's the opening game, Alabama, Southern Cal,
yeah.
That's the one?
Okay. Yeah, week zero, there's like Notre Dame, Navy, and a couple others. I don't know if you guys remember. Week zero was like the Florida-Miami game last year.
Right.
But like week one, the big Dallas game is USC and Bama.
Right.
So if USC can't play that game, there were reports, and they were kind of refuted sense or whatever, but that TCU could replace USC because TCU is supposed to play Cal, and then maybe Cal can't play because they're in a, you know, like that's the kind of, yeah, it is going to be some wow. high-level chess to get Humpty Dumpty back together again if you have to start sort of picking and choosing the schedule. In
right.
fact, something passed where, you know, you can usually only play one FCS game in order to qualify for a bowl. So, you know, like Rutgers, for example, can only play Norfolk State. They can't play another team like that.
Does that count when like you're playing Rutgers? Does that count as like one of them when you're playing Rutgers?
So they can't add like you can now. They're trying to get a pass so you can maybe add another FCS school just to like kind of make scheduling work. Still, you know, like it's just going to be a mad dash to get this thing in, and you know, let's just hope we can do it and do it safely.
I'm going to ask you one sports question, college football sports question. Last year at this time, it was just assumed that Tua was going to go number one overall, and a couple of things happened. Tua obviously got hurt. Joe Burrow had this incredible year. What has to happen for Trevor Lawrence not to be the number one overall pick next year?
Well, I think even if you had asked me that last year, like I would have told you that Trevor Lawrence has a better chance to go in 2 years than Tua does this upcoming year. And that's not a knock on Tua. He was a fantastic player, but he was still a bit of a divisive prospect. Mm-hmm. He was a little even injury-riddled, brittle, whatever you want to call it, at that point. And he's just like he's a little bit of a non-traditional quarterback. Trevor Lawrence is out of like a player personnel guy's like dream, mm-hmm. right? He is the tall – Roethlisberger might be a little big, but he has that huge, giant frame. But he's also athletic. To me, in all my years doing this, he is next to Andrew Luck, the biggest no-brainer QB prospect. Now, Tua was a great prospect, but I wouldn't have put him in that like potentially generational no-brainer prospect. So again, the beauty of all this is, you know, so much can happen along the way. But I really do think that Trevor Lawrence is a special prospect, and I hope we can watch him, you know, in Death Valley with fans all season long.
Yep.
That would be great. Pete, before I let you go, I just want to quickly get to the college basketball.
Sure.
Do you see college basketball starting on time? You know, early, mid-November, whenever they start playing. I mean, can you see that? How about that?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And, you know, you start to look at what some universities have done now. I think both BC, Syracuse, Notre Dame have all done this. And they've said, okay, we're going to come back, but after Thanksgiving, essentially, we're going to send you home. So there's not that, like, go home for Thanksgiving, come back, travel. And then there's also, like, flu stuff that starts in December. So that's a long way to say, like, universities are already kind of, like, pushing back on that time of year when college basketball's starting. So I have not dug in as much on that, mostly because if you ask ADs right now about college basketball, they're laughing. They're like, you know, we're trying to get 10 guys in the football weight room this week.
Right.
College basketball is going to have the benefit of seeing what happens with college football. I would not be stunned if college basketball starts in second semester. But again, that is a pure guess, just looking at the way schedules are being set. And you know, look, I'm optimistic. Like, I'm hoping the American machinery can come in and get some sort of more viable treatments and in vaccine options where, you know, maybe starting in January, and by then there's a chance you can have fans.
Yeah, that's the hope, man. That's certainly the hope.
Yeah, the basketball only schools, when you think about your St. John's and your Villanova's,
Georgetown,
and places like, yeah, exactly, Marquette. Places like that, not having the NCAA tournament revenue from last year is a big hit to them. So, and again, there's 350-odd Division I college basketball programs, and the 130 that don't have the decent revenue from football, like, they really, like, they need, you know, VCU needs butts in the seats, right? Like, they, you need that because you lost you lost a big chunk of revenue with there being no tournament last year. Even some of them, the conference tournaments being canceled was a big hit. I just saw last week the Big East had insurance, which helped save a portion of their hide. But it is a complicated tap dance, and these ADs do not have an enviable job making decisions, you know, when to push buttons on going with these things.
Absolutely. Pete, we really appreciate
it, man.
Thanks
really
for coming on.
Really good stuff,
on.
Pete. Let's hope we got college football, man.
Let us
hope. I'd love to come back on and talk about actual games.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Pete.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Pete Thamel, you know, he brings something up about these schools needing fans.
I would really miss
stands.
College football. I got to tell you something. I got to say, you know, I would really, really miss college football. No doubt.
It is going to make sense, and we've heard the NBA talk about this, the NHL has mentioned it, even college basketball may have to do it, to push back the start of next season to give you a better chance to have people in the stands.
I wouldn't be crazy about the college football season in spring, though. Now,
I wouldn't be crazy about it at all, but from an economic standpoint, if it's that important to have people in the stands, it's much better a chance of that happening in May of 2021 than November of 2020.
Yeah, it's going to be very strange.
I think
college football, though, more than any sport to me, would really, really take a hit with no fans there.
From an atmosphere standpoint, you're
100%
question.
From an atmosphere, no doubt about it. No doubt.
We'll come back. We'll get back to your telephone calls and two of the NFL rules they're going to be voting on next week. We'll discuss.
I don't like them already. I heard two of them. I don't like neither of them do I like.
Joe, ask yourself a question and think about this. When is the last time the NFL proposed a rule
that I liked?
That you said, I like that?
There's been very few.
It doesn't happen anymore.
When they cut the officiating in half, I'm in.
Yeah.
They want to add more. They want to add another guy.
I know.
What is wrong with this league?
We'll get to
it. What is wrong? What are they so hung up on the officiating? It's a joke.
We'll discuss it coming up next. Beningo and Roberts here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.